Let us pray. O God, through the written word and through the spoken word, may we behold the living word, even your Son, our Savior Jesus. Amen. Back before Jesus was born, there was a king in Syria. He was extraordinary, but not so much for good reasons. He believed that it was his kingly duty to make his Arab and Middle Eastern kingdom more Greek, more Western. So wherever he could, he tried to introduce Greek practices, Greek thought, Greek religion into the existing traditions, even using force if necessary. And he tried to do this in Palestine as well. For a while, he conquered Palestine and tried to eliminate the Jewish religion and culture altogether. He desecrated the temple, and he made carrying the Torah, their holy scriptures, a crime you could be killed for. He actually instituted the worship of the Greek god Zeus, where Yahweh, their Lord, had been worshipped. He made the courts around the temple into brothels, and he did everything he could to wipe out the Jewish faith. But then another man came to power. His name is Judas Maccabeus. And after an amazing career of conquest, he drove that Syrian king out. Then Judas repurified and reconsecrated the temple. And this is the event which our Jewish friends celebrate at Hanukkah. And as was their practice, they wrote a song to commemorate that great day of purification, the returning of the temple to its God-given purpose, and the celebration of his victory in battle, the battle that Judas Maccabeus had won. Here's how the song goes. It's the words only, though, because we don't know the tune that it would have been sung to, but here's the song they sang. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. It's Psalm 118. And this is also the song that the crowds sang when Jesus entered into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. It is a conqueror's psalm, because what the people wanted was a conqueror. When Jesus came into the city that day, the people who had been hanging out with him, hearing him teach and preach, watching him heal and work miracles like turning water into wine and multiplying food so that all could eat, who had heard story after story of God turning situations on their head, suggesting that the meek will inherit the earth, and those who are grieving will be comforted, and that those who think they are great really aren't, who didn't just hear him talk about these things, but saw him share meals with criminals and gather children on his knee and forgive the unforgivable and cry with his friends and outwit the religious professionals. After 3 years of all this, they still thought he was the leader of a political revolution who had come to overthrow the government and institute a new order in the land that would favor the Israelites. And in their defense, the people were simply doing what they knew to do, and so their coats went down, and they grabbed the closest branches to wave in honor and celebration of the coming king, and they sang a victory song. And us too. Yeah, we want a conqueror also. We do our best with what we have at hand, given the situations that we're in and the resources available to us, right? We can only work with what we've got, after all. Something happens that requires all of our attention and our energy, a laser focus to the exception of anything else for a while, and our world shrinks down to the essentials. Lord, save us. Give us success in this thing. And he does. He does show up. But riding on, of all things, a donkey, which actually sounds weirder to us than it would have during his time. Animals, chariots, carts were the norm, of course, and especially for royalty. And the donkey in particular spoke volumes. You see, back then, the donkey was the beast of kings. And when a king would approach riding on a donkey, it meant that he was coming in peace and not in war. If he had ridden on a great horse, that's the symbol of coming as a conqueror. But riding on a donkey is the symbol of peace. And by choosing the foal of a donkey, Jesus shows us what his kingdom is really all about. Boy, I wonder what Jesus was thinking when he saw that little parade as he made his way into the city. He knew what was ahead for him that week, even though they didn't. I wonder. They shouted praise as he was about to lose everything. They shouted, "Save us," as he was heading into his death. I wonder if he had that pit, you know, that sick feeling you get in your stomach, you know, when you know something bad is about to happen and there's nothing you can do to stop it. They don't even know the irony of their cry for Jesus to save them. But still, their cry is real. Yeah, authentic. It's genuine. It's from the heart. They do need a Savior. And so do we. Because life, some of the time, maybe much of the time, is heavy. Maybe too much, even. And while we probably just want our situation to change, for the cancer to be benign, for the fighting to stop, for a few more hours in the week to get things done, what we get instead is the Prince of Peace, who rides not only into Jerusalem, but into our hearts as well. We get the promise of God's presence amidst the craziness. We get the Holy Spirit who blows into our lives in unexpected ways. A chance meeting with a friend you haven't seen in ages that lifts your heart. A meeting is canceled, and now all of a sudden your day becomes manageable. Or just the right Bible verse appears in your Facebook news feed. Or even a kind word from a cashier at the store can change the day. Jesus is riding on a donkey and bringing peace. The phrase, beast of burden, which we use to apply to donkeys and pack animals, didn't appear until the 18th century, but it still is an apt association here, because in carrying Jesus into Jerusalem, the donkey is indeed carrying a great weight and burden, taking Jesus on the first leg of his journey to the cross. And Jesus himself also carries a great weight and burden. The weight of the world, in fact, literally, the burden of all humanity goes with him. Your worries for your children go with him. The grief that just won't heal goes with him. The failure from years ago that you just can't seem to shake goes with him. The shame that burns white hot that no one else sees goes with him. The fear that has no name goes with him. The thing that you are convinced is unforgivable goes with him. And with him it will all be crucified, killed. And just as Jesus gets a resurrection body, so will everything that goes to the cross with him. And like Jesus, we may have to go through hell to get to it. And you know what they say when you're going through hell? Keep going. Keep going. Jesus does institute a new world order and does bring about peace. It just may not look like we expect it to, but it's coming. Amen.